Let's play our favourite Christmas carol at this time of the year, shall we? Yes, indeed. Tis the season for the PDC World Darts Championships, which return to your television screens and the Ali Pally or the Alexandra Palace in London. Next Thursday evening, away we go again. Luke Littler, Luke Humphreys et al. For the 2025 edition of the World Darts Championships. It becomes a magnet for a lot of sports fans to watch the darts over the Christmas, and we have our darts guru in studio to guide us through the World Darts Championships. Sean McLaughlin knows his 180s from his Michael Van Gerwen. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm too good, Austin. How are you keeping?
I am good. You were reminding me during the week here in the office that the darts is one of the most watched sports events on Sky Sports each year.
Yeah, that the World Championship every year is second behind football. I don't know how, I imagine they're classified.
How they measure it, yeah, but they know what they're talking about, yeah.
So it's the second most watched event on Sky Sports every year, which I always find.
People might be aware of that. I mean, they might think, oh, the Ryder Cup is probably one of the big hitters, or the US Masters, the soccer, obviously, but maybe there's an odd rugby event that comes along. Maybe the Formula One today is pulling in the fans because it's a season ending. But the darts pulls them in by the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, it does. It does pull them in by the hundreds of thousands. I mean, it was reported years ago. This is going back as 2013, and since then, like, it's gone through many stages of having, you know, I don't want to say the word viral moments, but it's had stages of, like, just new players coming along that kind of transcend beyond sports news into the actual real world news as well. I mean, I always think back to Rob Cross in 2018. 1 year on the tour, nobody really knew who he was. He played a few tournaments as an amateur player, and 1 year into having a tour card, he wins the World Championships against Phil Taylor in his last match. And obviously 2 years ago, Luke Littler has broken it again.
What is the attraction for darts for you? Like, you've come in here with an impressive list of notes for me for our chat this afternoon. You've clearly done your homework, but what pulls you into the sport?
I can't even, like, fully remember. I remember it being on sometimes during, like, when I was younger on, like, Sky Sports. And I remember just seeing, like, I think it was generally the presentation in, like, a very small room when it was in the Circus Tavern. And I do remember going, oh, that looks kind of cool. They don't look like actual, like, not to, you know, say that, but, you know, they didn't look like the prototypical sports athletes. And it just felt like regular people playing darts. And there was a dartboard in the house. And I remember thinking, that looks like a bit of fun, that.
Yeah. I mean, you're only a young fella, but I'm old enough to remember. I mean, I kept an eye on darts on a Saturday on World of Sport on UTV. Yeah. I can remember the era of Eric Bristow, John Lowe, Keith Deller, Jockey Wilson. I mean, I was an Eric Bristow fan. I like to see him winning. Yeah. But I remember Keith Deller coming along and winning the world title out of the blue in the early 1980s. And it was a haze of smoke and beer and alcohol. And the more unfit they looked, the more attracted you were to them for some reason.
Yeah, it was just basically the kind of the image it was back then. It still is now, the everyman, the average Joe, as Barry Hearn would say, you know, coming in, making good money and hitting treble 20s as well. I mean, that was the attraction to a lot of people. It was working class players for the working class.
Yeah. There was a constituency back in the 80s suggesting darts wasn't the proper sport. Is that constituency still there today?
I don't think it's there as much as it was maybe late 90s, like even early 80s. It did get a lot of negative press, I think, from certain outlets at the time. I mean, I always think there's the famous Not the 9 o'clock News sketch where they're, instead of throwing darts, they're drinking beer, drinking alcohol. I mean, that was, but I think now the public perception has changed completely in the last, I'd say, 15-16 years, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, TV wise, soccer has always had a hold on the festive programming in terms of, you know, Boxing Day since Stephen's Day soccer. Although I think there's no live game on Stephen's Day this year, bizarrely, for the first time. Is there one?
There might be one. I'll have to recheck that again.
Yeah, it's a quirk of the scheduling. There's only one match, if one, in the Premier League on Boxing Day. But anyway, that's a by the by. But darts has found its way into the market here, and you'd have to say that's incredibly clever, and you would wonder why other sports haven't thought to put some of their marquee events in around Christmas time.
I mean, it used to come up when the tournament was smaller. It would kind of start maybe 9 days before Christmas when it was maybe 70 players in the tournament or 64 players in the tournament. But now that it's gone up from 96, it would start a little bit earlier. And now that it's a full 128 player field, they're getting an entire month of television coverage. I mean, I'm looking at the amount of sessions here. There must be 30-odd sessions here. I think there's 32 sessions of darts this year, or 34 sessions, which is... And you're going from December the 11th until January the 3rd. That's nearly a month of programming. And there's some days where you're going to get two sessions in one day, especially before we break up for Christmas.
What do we attribute the rise in popularity of darts in recent years to? It's not just Luke Littler, who burst onto the scene 2 years ago as a 16-year-old, reaching the final and then won the world title last year. We'll get to him in a moment. But I mean, the popularity was there before Luke Littler came along.
Definitely. I mean, there's loads of players I would say are significant with popularity in darts increasing. I would give a big claim to that in the 2010s to Michael van Gerwen. Dutch television were considering pulling darts altogether off the television screens in 2012 because the Dutch players weren't performing in the big TV majors. Michael van Gerwen comes along in 2012 and completely storms it. I think van Gerwen is responsible for bringing darts to popularity, big popularity, into mainland Europe. I mean, you look at the PDC Tour now, there's players from Germany, there's players from Belgium, there's players from, you know, there's players from Italy on the tour. You wouldn't have said that a couple of years ago.
So would you put it down to personalities have helped grow the popularity, or is there another reason why it's got so popular? I mean, I'm thinking of when Premier League darts comes to the Three Arena in Dublin. The Three Arena sells out as quick as an A-lister comedian or band would.
I do think it comes down to different personalities, and other personalities come in every so year. There's always a new crop coming along, and there's a new crop that's going to come in. And whether it's by personality or it's by performance, you know, they are going to crack the market. And I do think, you know, I think Michael van Gerwen, I do think Luke Humphries is a good spokesperson for the game of darts. Well spoken. Some people may say he doesn't look like the stereotypical darts player. You know, I do think, like, it's a lot of personalities that factor into it as well. I would also factor in the late 2010s, bringing female attention to the wider public would be Fallon Sherrick and now Beau Greaves as well.
These are female players?
Yes, and they're both going to be in the tournament. There's four female players competing in the tournament this
year. So why isn't there a women's world championship and a men's like other sports, say tennis, or in darts it's co-ed, for want of a better
expression? The PDC has always said it's a darts tour, not an exclusive tour. It doesn't matter on where you come from, or, you know, the girls can play the men can play the girls. But they do have a women's series as well. They do have a women's floor events, and they have multiple events of those per year. But it is interesting. But maybe they have one women's major a year, the women's world match play that takes place on the day of the world match play final in Blackpool. And I do think it's a good opportunity to get the women playing against the men, especially with some of the players that are playing against the men this year.
Okay, well, we'll talk about some of the contenders and who's in the Worlds this year in just a moment. But take us through the PDC World Darts Championship format, when it starts, how many players, and when it ends. Because it's quite I won't say drawn out, but, you know, it's a meaty enough World Championship.
I mean, this is the biggest World Championship ever. I mean, this is a massive World Championship. 128 players, the top 40 in the world. You have your top 40 outside the top 40 that are ranked, and then you have your 48 qualifiers as well, and your 40 top earners on the Pro Tour as well that are up outside the top 32.
Okay, so that's how you make up the field. So it's 128, so that sounds like it's a straight knockout, round 1, 2, 3, down to quarterfinals, semifinals, etc.
Yeah.
So it starts on Thursday. How long does it run for?
It runs from Thursday the 11th of December, and then the final is on Saturday, January the 3rd. So you're getting, that's about 24 days or 23 days of darts.
Okay, and one peculiarity of World Darts is that the World Championships, they take a break for an obvious reason, mid-tournament.
Yes, so the first two rounds are going to run, the first two rounds are going to be completed by the 23rd of December. They don't play on Christmas Eve, they don't play on Christmas Day, and they don't play on St. Stephen's Day. They come back on the 27th, and you're not getting much respite from each round of play.
Okay, so you might fly out to London, play round 1, round 2. If you get through to round 3, you get a few days off for Christmas, you come home, and then you go back again to London to resume your world title push.
Yeah, especially if you're flying in, say for example Michael van Gerwen, but some players might base themselves over in the UK for a period. Some maybe the top earners have
Christmas in London.
Yeah, they might have Christmas in London. You know, I know it was COVID times a few years ago, but a lot of the Dutch players would have stayed in London during the time. But I would say some of the top earners might move to London. Same with snooker, like a lot of snooker players would move to England.
Yeah, I think over the Christmas period, it's a very comforting sport to have on the telly, even in the background, a bit like golf. You know, the nature of darts on the telly, you have the close-up of the board on one half of the screen and the close-up of the thrower on the other. And there is something, I won't say hypnotic, but kind of...
It grips you in.
Yeah, you stick with it, even if you're not big into darts.
Yeah, I didn't have the best attention span as a child. I would maybe watch one half of football. I think that's changed now, but I would watch maybe 60 minutes. I'd be like, oh, I'm done with that. But there was something about darts where it just kind of draw you in and just makes you focus on the screen. I don't know what it is. I still can't pinpoint it to this day, really.
Okay, you mentioned 128 competitors in this year's World Darts Championship. We're not going to go through them all,
no.
But pick out some of the names that even if you're not a big darts fan, you'll recognise straight up.
I mean, you'd obviously recognise the two Lukes, Luke Littler, Luke Humphreys. You'd recognise Michael van Gerwen. I mean, there's players from the past that are in there that you would probably recognise. Raymond van Barneveld is still playing on the Pro Tour. He's not ranked this year. He was ranked the last two or three years. He's in a Simon Whitlock, of course, made the 2010 final against Phil Taylor. He's still in there. Gary Anderson, Peter Wright, Gerwin Price. There's a lot of recognisable players in there.
And Luke Littler is the holder. I kind of get fuzzy. It was 2 years ago that he broke onto the scene as a 16-year-old and reached the final. Now he's 18. Now he's an old fella. And he is the defending champion this time around.
Yeah, he's the defending champion this time around. I mean, his year this year has been nothing short of remarkable. It feels like every time he's playing in a long format, he can just kick into fourth gear, like not even top gear, and he could walk to that title. I mean, this tournament...
Okay, so he's playing as well as he was 2 years ago. He hasn't faded at all.
No,
okay.
He has leveled up.
Is he the world number one?
He is the world number one now, and it does feel like he is leveling up more and more.
Okay, so he is Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy in a dart sense.
He is a Tiger Woods, breaking in at a young age and just cleaning up majors everywhere he goes.
And do you think he looks equipped to win it again?
I mean, I'm looking at his section of the draw, you know, to go to... He's got a tricky first round game. Darius Labanauskas, he's maybe an unknown to people who may casually watch darts. He's had a quarter final run a few years ago. Now, that was a good while ago, but he is one of those players that's very steady and deceptively can check out big finishes. I do think he could give Littler some problems, but on paper, Littler is a very heavy favourite. He plays on night one. He'll be the third game on Thursday evening, so he'll be the third game that evening, so around 9 o'clock.
Prime time television hour.
I think I look at his section of the draw. There's a few tough players in there. I think if Damon Hetta, he's an Australian player known for playing really well on the Pro Tour, this year hasn't really gone well for him on the television. He's also got Gerwin Price, who has really pushed him hard this year. Gerwin Price kind of struggled on television,
a former world champion
in 2021. Yes, I mean, I think Gerwin Price here has a good chance of making semi-finals. He's not won a major in a good long while, but I do think he's got a good, really good chance. He's been playing, I think, his best stuff he has been playing in a while. He could give Littler trouble if they weren't going to meet in a long format. I do think the longer format suits Luke Littler.
So what do you mean by longer format?
So when you get into the deeper stages, in the first round, it's going to be first to three set. In the second round, it's first to three set as well.
Okay, so just for the uninitiated, to win a set, you've got to win three legs.
Three legs. So each set is a best of five legs. You win three legs, you win a set. You got to do that two more times to win the game.
Okay. So as you go further into the tournament, the number of sets you have to win increases.
So when you get into round three, it's best of seven sets, first to four, and same for the last 16. In the quarterfinals, it's first to five sets, semi-finals first to six, and the finals is first to seven. I do think that benefits the likes of Luke Littler and Luke Humphreys.
Okay, so it's a bit like snooker. The number of frames you got to win increases the deeper you go into the tournament. So you mentioned Luke Littler. The other Luke is Luke Humphreys, who beat Littler in his breakthrough year in the final 2 years ago. He's still at the top table.
I would still say that Luke Humphreys is as good as any player around today. I think he's got a really good chance of making the final. Now, the only reason I would say maybe Luke Littler wouldn't make the final is no defending world champion has made the final in the next successive year since 2020, and that was Michael van Gerwen. Luke Humphries, I didn't think he would get knocked out before the final, but he did. He lost to Peter Wright, which a lot of people said was a huge upset because Peter Wright was in poor form. That's the only reason I'd say maybe Luke Littler might.
Remind me, Peter Wright is the guy with the Mohican haircut?
He is, yes. Okay. And nobody expected him to beat Luke Humphries. I think I remember, I wasn't even in the country at the time, I was in Japan, and I woke up the next morning, I saw that Luke Humphries was beaten 4-1 by Peter Wright, and nobody gave Peter Wright a chance to even get past the second round.
Yeah. Okay. What's the rivalry like between these guys? I mean, are there darts players at the top end who don't get on, or is it politely respectful?
I think for the most part, when you get to, you know, I do think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people read into things a bit too much. You know, if someone just makes a quick handshake, doesn't really make much eye contact, I think people may look into that because, you know, you're playing for big money at the end of the day. This is the biggest one of them all. If you're losing when you think you shouldn't have lost, I don't think it's unfair to say you should be upset. But you do definitely get a bit of needle between a lot of players. And look, you do kind of want that from a television viewer perspective.
Well, speaking of hard cash, Sean, how much does the winner get for winning the PDC World Darts Championship?
The winner gets £1 million, which is, I mean, if you win £1 million, there's a good chance you're going to the world number one spot, which I think Luke Humphries has got his eye on. I do think he's coming into this tournament. He's defending his prize money from a few years ago. And if he wins that million, he's back at the number one spot.
How much do you get for just getting to play at the World Championships?
£15,000.
Okay, so for making, just being on the start list.
Yeah, just being on the start list, which is great money for some players that may never ever get to play the World Championships again. I think at the, you know, there's a lot of female, there's a female player in particular, Gemma Hayter. She's like, people are complaining about me being in the World Championships, but I get £15,000 at the end of the day. That's great money for, there wasn't, a couple of years ago, there wasn't really much money in the women's game.
Yeah, and just to remind people who may not be hugely familiar with darts, you play from 501 points down to zero. That's what you're trying to do each leg. You're trying to score that amount as quickly as possible. And the quickest way you can do that is with nine darts. Nine darts is the shortest finish you can do in darts from 501 down to zero. How much do you get if you do a nine darter in a leg at the World Championships?
So it was a prize fund a good few years ago, but then the PDC kind of, because they've become so common, kind of went, well,
this is costing us a fortune, we can't give this out. Okay, right.
But since Paddy Power started sponsoring the World Championships, they started out their sponsorship by doing the big 180, which was for every 180 we'll donate £1,000 to Prostate Cancer UK. And then it became the bigger 180, where they donate the £1,000 per 180, and if you hit a nine darter, we'll give £60,000 to Prostate Cancer UK, we'll give £60,000 to the player, and they'll give £60,000 to a person in the audience if they're in attendance for the game.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, that's good money for some players.
Right. What about the local interest in the Worlds, right, Sean? Is there much or Irish interest, shall we say, in these championships?
In terms of the players?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good players from, whether they represent the Republic of Ireland or Northern Ireland. I do think Josh Rock, he's a future world champion.
Okay, who is he now?
Josh Rock is from, I believe it's from County Antrim. He's only 24 years old. He's only been on the tour about 2-3 years. He broke into the world scene in a big way. I mean, he pushed the likes of Michael van Gerwen to, you know, really tough. He's had a really good year. There was 2 years where he didn't really do well in the TV majors, but he's had an excellent year this year. I would argue he could have won two majors if it wasn't for Luke Littler being in his way. He lost to Luke Littler in the quarterfinals of the Grand Slam. Littler just went on a rampage of winning 7, 8, 9 legs in a row. I mean, I was watching it at home, I was watching it somewhere, and he just rattled off legs after legs, and he did the same at the World Match Play as well, which is the second biggest major of the year. I do think he's got a really good chance. I do think Daryl Gurney is a very steady player. He's been around a long time, but he's got a really tough first round game. He's going up against Bo Greaves, who is the winner of the development tour in terms of the youth players. She made it to the final of the World Youth Championship. She beat Luke Littler on the way, averaging 106, which is around the same what Luke Littler averaged. She can match Luke Littler on her best day. And I do think Daryl Gurney's got a bit of a tough task ahead of him. Also as well, I do think with the players, like, I know, not to criticise them, but I do think the likes of Keane Barry and William O'Connor, they've had streaky years on the tour. I think I think the big criticism that some pundits have of the likes of Keane Barry and William O'Connor is they don't qualify for some of the more exclusive majors and they have a smaller format. The World Match Play, you know, the World Grand Prix, they haven't really kicked on the way a lot of people thought. You know, okay. Keane Barry was coming in as a 16-year-old in his first World Championship. That was 6 years ago now. He is 23, 24 now. You know, and I do think he's got a okay first round game. He's facing Tim Pusey of Australia. And if he wins that, he plays Martin Schindler or Stephen Burton, which I do think is a winnable task for him.
Okay.
And he's fighting to keep his tour card. He needs to go on. He needs to maybe win one or two games just to secure it.
Can I ask you about a guy who won a big local darts event here in Sligo a couple of years ago? I think his name is Dylan Slevin from Tipperary. Is he in the world this year?
Dylan Slevin, unfortunately, didn't qualify for the World Championships this year. I believe he's lost his tour card now. He'll go back in January. Dylan Slevin's a good enough player to go win his tour card back. He had to play in the last day qualifier, which was for the tour card holders. And I think he went out at the second last hurdle. And I think, So
we might see him at the Bob Esk. Who knows?
Maybe he might go and win it again.
Yeah. It's Saturday the 3rd of January in the Sligo Park Hotel, new venue for the 2026 Bob Esk Memorial Tournament in Sligo in memory of the late Bob Alexander, who was a great darts personality in Ballesteira and Sligo for many, many years. You haven't mentioned the Belcoo man yet,
Brendan,
Sean McLaughlin.
My old pal.
Brendan Dolan.
Yes, Brendan Dolan. Yeah, he's had a tough year, I would say, this year. For Brendan, I'd say he would admit that himself. But he's got an interesting task ahead of him in his first round game. He faces 20-year-old Tavis Dudney in the first game on the Monday afternoon session, which I believe is this Monday week.
Okay, so that's Monday the 15th week. Of December. Yeah.
So he plays him on the 15th of December. And if he wins, he plays either Ryan Searle or Chris Lamman of the Netherlands. I think Brendan's got a good chance of going on a little bit of a run here.
He got to the quarterfinal 2 years ago, yeah, I think, didn't he?
So like he played Luke Littler.
If he gets his eye in, he can do a bit of damage in a championship like this.
I think Brendan is more than capable on his best day of going on a little bit of a run, because the thing is, the bigger the tournament gets, you know, there is going to happen that maybe seeds will get knocked out in the tournament. I do think when seeds fall, it opens up the gap for maybe some players that may have not gone on a big run before. And I think if you look at the section that Keane Barry and Brendan Dolan in, they're in the same section in the second quarter. I don't know if I gave you that sheet, but I can show it to you afterwards. But I think that second quarter is wide open to anyone. And I remember Niall Delaney was saying to me the other day, he thinks Bully Boy can go on a bit of a run. And I'm looking at this section here, and I can't say I'd argue. If Michael Smith can show up and play his mid-90s averages, I think that section of the draw, the second quarter, is wide open to anyone.
Okay, so you think there's parts of the draw that look easier on paper than...
The ones that don't have Luke Humphries, Luke Littler.
Okay, that's obvious.
Second quarter, I think there's a really good chance for someone to go to a semi-final. And if you get to a semi-final, you win 200 grand. If you lose in the semi-final, you're guaranteed 200 grand. And I think for the likes of... I'm looking at Stephen Bunton. Stephen Bunton is a very good player, but he has been struggling as of late. But I'm looking at some of those players there. There's a good chance for someone to go on a bit of a semi-final run there.
Okay. The field, from what we've discussed so far, Sean, strikes me, it's very UK player-orientated, Dutch player-orientated, and a fair sprinkling of Irish players you've mentioned. I mean, does the World Darts Championship go much beyond those country areas?
I think it does. I mean, I think they, you know, since the field has expanded, they've made it a bigger field for... You know, they've opened up spots for, you know, they have an Asian tour, so there's a lot of players. Like, the Philippines would have very good darts players. I think that...
And there are Filipino players in this field.
Yeah, I think there's two or three. Mm. I think there's three. There's Lawrence Alagan, there's Alexis Toilo. I mean, I want to mention Alexis Toilo, because if you've watched any of them, you may not have noticed him, but he was playing at the Grand Slam of Darts, which is the second last Sky Sports major. For anyone that hasn't seen him, he's a very, very, very methodical player. He has a very, like, he throws a couple of phantom darts, rolls up the sleeve. It's an unorthodox.
Almost like a practice swing, is it?
Almost like a practice swing a few times beforehand. It's very common with a lot of players in Asia. A lot of them do the fake dart.
Really?
Which warms up the arm almost. And he
in the middle of the game.
And he has chalk all over the darts. And when he throws, it's like a big puff of smoke.
Magician-esque.
Yeah,
like.
Magician-esque. He is a very methodical player. And I do think he's one of the people I put on my, just out of sheer fascination. If you're someone who thinks the game of darts is very fast nowadays, he'll put away your expectations. But to go back to, you know, the see the different countries. I mean, there's players from Hong Kong in there, there's players from Japan in there, you know, Australia, New Zealand.
Any Americans?
There are a few Americans. Alex Spellman is one of them. He's from the US. There's Leonard Gates as well. There's also Adam Savada from the US. And there's also, I believe the other one is David Cameron.
Okay.
Not to be mistaken.
Not the former Prime Minister of the UK.
Not the former Prime Minister. David Cameron of the of Canada.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a good few different countries in there.
And in terms of age profile, what are we talking about here with this World Championship? I mean, Luke Littler's 18, so there's a lot of young players.
I think he's still the youngest player in the tournament.
Okay.
There's I've a couple of young players that are on this list. I mean, it goes from Luke Littler at 18 years old all the way up to Paul Lim, who is breaking his record once again as the oldest player to ever enter the World Championship. 71 years old, he is going to have a crack. He's going to have another go at it, which is, I mean, that's what you want in a sport. You want big age ranges. You want all different types of characters. That's what I think makes darts a great sport.
Have you spotted a future Luke Littler in there or around the periphery yet?
Not in this tournament, but there is a player. If you've been watching the old Lakeside World Championship, it used to be the BDO, it's now gone to the World Darts Federation. There is a player who is not even old enough to play on the PDC Tour. He's from Scotland. He only turned 15 last month, and he's in the final of the Lakeside Championship tonight. His name is Mitchell Laurie. I do think if he's allowed to play on the PDC Tour soon enough, keep an eye out for him.
What age is he?
He's only 15.
Scottish.
He only
Mitchell
turned 15.
Laurie.
Mitchell Laurie.
Okay, so he's the new Wayne Rooney, you think, or he might be.
Yeah, he could be. I don't want to put a curse on him because, you know, there was the old curse of the new Pelé.
Okay, we have a couple of minutes left. Pick me your winner for the 2026. Do we call it the 2026 World Championships? Or
2025-26, yeah. Okay. We can say
right.
that.
So who do you think is going to win it?
I would say my winner is Luke Littler.
Surprise.
You'd never know. I said
based
Luke
on
Humphreys
current
last
form,
year.
He's been playing so well this year.
Based on current form, I would say Luke Littler.
Right. But?
But, you know, there's that thing of no defending champions made the finals in 6 years. That could factor in again. It's an unusual coincidence, but I do think it could factor in. I think if we got Littler Humphreys final where it's a battle for £1 million, I do think that would bring in huge viewers, I'd say. But I'd say no matter what, the final is going to bring in huge viewers. But, you know, I would say those are my three favourites. Just a couple of dark horses.
Go on, pick a dark horse for me, so surprise us.
A dark horse, I would say Josh Rock. I don't think he's a dark horse.
Okay.
I would say Josh Rock has got the game to go really far in the tournament. I think he's a quality player. But yeah, I would say Josh Rock. There's a few of them here. There's, you know, I do think Gary Anston's capable of going on a run, even at his age. But there's a lot of players very capable of going on a run.
So do you sit on the sofa at home now in North Sligo for the next 4 weeks, just supplies in front of the telly?
I'll have to call in. So I'll call in sick. No, I'll for the next couple of days when I get the chance. It will be darts. Football comes second for me.
Okay.
Every other sport.
Darts trumps football at Christmas time.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Even if it's any tournament, I will watch the darts over the football, I'd say.
Okay. Sean McLaughlin, enjoy the darts. Get some exercise, won't you? Do get some exercise.
Yeah, I will.
Thank you very much for your darts preview.
No problem, awesome.
PDC World Darts Championship starts next Thursday. We'll talk more darts locally. The Sligo Youth Darts Academy, that's coming up after the news.